Good morning. Our reading today that Pastor Dave is going to preach from is Psalm 78, and I'm going to read verses 1 through to verse 8 of Psalm 78. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. What we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. They would not be like their forefathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to him.
Thanks, Doc, for reading the passage for us today. Welcome to church. Add my welcome to that of Murray, so if you're visiting with us. My name's Dave, one of the pastors here, and it's great that you could join us this morning. Those of you that do want to do your blue card forms and things this morning, I'll just be hanging around down the front here near the small group sign-up table. That'll make it easier for you to find me to see about that. Why don't we pray, and then we'll get stuck into the text this morning. Father God, we want to thank you that you are our God. Father, we want to thank you that you are a God who speaks, a God who desires to be known. Father, we thank you that you are a God who gives. We've been singing of your gift of grace and mercy and love this morning. We thank you for the forgiveness we have in Christ Jesus, our Saviour. Father, we thank you that you are a God who instructs and you lead and guide us by your word and by your spirit. And Father, we just pray that your Holy Spirit would move amongst us now as we look at this text. Father, help us to learn more of you and ready our hearts, Lord, to respond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Earlier this week, I was out in the yard, working in the yard, doing some demolition. I was with Ollie, and he was helping me out. It wasn't quite that exciting, but we have an old trampoline that had fallen to bits and was very unsafe. And we spent a bit of time the week before last getting that ready to pull apart, and we were out finishing that job earlier this week. It was hammer and tools time, and it was very fun for me to be out there doing that, and I'm sure it was fun for Ollie as well too. But there's a bit of safety. I'm a safety-conscious guy, and it was important for me to explain what I was doing and how to safely use some of the tools that we had, and letting Ollie have a go, of course, of sledgehammers and all of the things that we needed there to dismantle the trampoline. I offered him a turn of the angle grinder, but he decided that that was too noisy for him, and that's probably wise that he didn't take that one up. But yeah, anyway, it was fun. We had our gloves on, our safety equipment. We're putting it all in the trailer to take away. And as we're clearing all of that stuff up off the grassed area at the back of my house, we found in the grass this humongous toad, like it was huge. That's not to scale. That's not the one that we found. That's just one random one that I found on the internet. But it was pretty big. It was huge. And I did what every good dad would do. You grab it and you check it out. And you show your boy this humongous toad. Now, Ollie's obviously smarter than me on two counts, because he wasn't too keen to get up and close and personal with this humongous toad. So I thought, I've got two kids. Claire will be interested in this. She's the animal lover, the explorer of our kids, and she was a bit more excited than Ollie, so I was pretty happy about that. And it was a good teaching opportunity for me with Claire. Ollie had just learned about tools and tool safety and demolition, and Claire got a little bit of a lesson about how to handle a toad safely, where its poison sacs are, how toads are dangerous to our native animals, and how to humanely dispatch the toad so it wasn't a danger to any of the animals at our home. Now, on reflection, I thought about these two teaching opportunities at the start of my week. A couple of unique teaching opportunities for Dad, brought on by tools and toads. And it made me think about my role as a dad, specifically my role as an instructor, as a teacher for my children. And it made me ponder the responsibility that we have as parents in teaching and training and instructing our kids. There is heaps that we can pass on to our kids. There's so much that we need to teach them. And our kids are like little sponges. They love learning. They love finding out about the world. Sure, tools and toads are probably not high on your priority list. They certainly weren't high on my list. It just sort of came up. Stuff just comes up through the course of life as you do life as a parent and spend that time with your kids. But the whole experience got me thinking, and I hope that my sharing today gets you thinking. Of all of the things that you could teach the next generation about life, about the world, of everything that you could possibly teach the next generation, what are the key things, what are the important things that you want to make sure that you pass on? And parents in the room this morning, you're probably already with me on this one. You've probably done some thinking about this already. There's plenty of parents here who've got kids who are older than mine, and I would imagine that many of you are way ahead of me on this, and I'll probably be asking you for some advice. But we need to ask this as parents, don't we? There are some things that we want to make sure that we pass on to our kids. It's one of the great concerns that we have as parents. We ask ourselves the question, can I connect with my children in such a way as the things that I really care about, the things that I really believe matter, get passed on to them? That's the question we want to ponder this morning. Now, it's not just a message this morning, this text that we're going to read in a moment from get into in a moment in Psalm 78. It's not just a text for parents. I think this whole question, this thinking is applied more broadly than just our own kids. It may be nieces or nephews. It may be grandchildren or foster kids. Maybe other children here at City North. Children in our own faith community. However you want to think about it, in every generation, there is a next generation of people who are going to follow after those who have gone before. Every generation, there's a next generation of people who are going to follow after those who have gone before. Parents follow their parents, who follow their parents, and so on. And so we want to ask this question that every generation asks itself. What are the important truths that we want to share and impart with the next generation? And that's the question at the center of our text this morning. If you've got your Bible there, Psalm 78 is where we're going to be. If you haven't brought a Bible, there are some in the little racks under the seats there. We'll put it up on the screen as well too. But it's good to have the Bible, good to follow along. Those of you who are familiar with Psalm 78, you know it's a long one, and you'll be pleased to know that we're just going to stick in those first eight verses this morning. We don't have time to go through the whole psalm. Doc read for us those first eight verses. And it appears as Doc read that, if you caught the theme there, the critical issue that the psalmist is addressing in these first eight verses seem to be this passing on of what matters to the next generation. Passing on of what matters to the next generation. This psalm, if you've got it there in your Bible, you'll see right underneath the chapter heading, Psalm 78. It says that it's a maskil of Asaph. Asaph was the guy that wrote this psalm. We're told in the Bible, in the scripture, that he was originally a young priest from the tribe of Levi. He served as a prophet and a musician during the rule of King David. And he wrote Psalm 78. He wrote another 11 of the Psalms. And you first get introduced to this guy Asaph in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. If you read that for yourself, you'll see he had fairly humble beginnings. He was a cymbal player. He served as a musician and a singer. And by chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, Asaph is raised to this position of chief musician. A little bit later on in the history of God's people, you see in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, Asaph's sons, now the sons of Asaph, led the worship of Israel with him. So he was a godly man, he was a priest, he was a musician, and he was also a father. And his job was to instruct and lead the worship of God's people. So here we've got this dad who knows and loves the one true God, writing this psalm to remind us, to remind the people of Israel of the responsibility that we all have to pass on what is truly important to the next generation. In verse 1, he kind of calls the people to attention. Doc read that for us before. O my people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. He's calling for our attention. He says, hear this teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. Literally, he's saying, don't just sit there. Stretch out your ears. Lean forward. Catch what I'm saying. Don't miss it, because this is really important. This morning, this text is important for parents as they consider their responsibility to teach and instruct their own kids. But it's equally important for all of us who are part of this family of faith as we consider our responsibility to one another, as we consider our responsibility to the next generation who would follow after us. To all of the children and young people at City North, we here as adults, we have a responsibility to tell what we know to be true to them. So we want to take a little closer look at these first 8 verses this morning. We want to consider that responsibility that we all share this morning. The first thing that we see as we look at this text is that there's a story to tell. That was quite clear in the reading this morning. And Gracie helped explain it to the little ones this morning. Even for them, there'll be a generation that follows after them that they can tell this story to. There's a truth that's important to pass on to the next generation. There's a story to be shared. And it's relevant for every generation. Its application is timeless. Have a look at the first 2 verses there, verses 2 and 3. Asaph says, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, what we have heard and known, what our fathers have told us. Asaph points out that the origin of this story, this truth that we must be sure to pass on to the next generation, it's a truth that's of old. It's a story that began way before even Asaph did, before he clanged his first cymbal, before he wrote his first psalm, before Asaph had ever led a worship service. This story was already unfolding, and yet it's a story that's still relevant today, a story that has been lived out and experienced in his own life. As he says there, what he's heard and known, what his father and their fathers before them have passed on. The point that Asaph is making is that we have a responsibility to teach and instruct the next generation. Verses 3 and 4 go together. Asaph says, what we've heard and known, what our fathers have told us, verse 4, we will not hide them from their children. Parents have got this great responsibility to pass the torch on, so to speak, to pass the baton on, to pass on to our kids that which is truly important, the things that we have seen and heard. For every one of us that's here today that knows and loves Jesus, all of us who are here that call City North our church home, if you consider yourself a part of our faith community, even if you're not a parent, you share this responsibility for the next generation to pass the torch, to pass the baton, to share what you have seen and heard, to tell what you know to be true. This is a remembrance psalm. It's a reminder for God's people to tell our kids what we know to be true in Him. It reminds us of the responsibility we have to care for and lovingly instruct the next generation, to not neglect to share with our kids what we have learned. It's why we have kids' church and junior kids' church here at City North. It's why we run youth group and Bible study groups for young people. It's why we're encouraging our young families to get involved in regular Bible study in their own homes and with other families in our church community. It's because we feel the weight of this responsibility as a church community. We feel the weight of this responsibility to the other families in our church community, to tell what we know to be true to the next generation. It's because the scriptures are filled with instruction for us to not hide these things from our kids. If you've ever been at City North and we've shared with a baby dedication, a mum or a dad have brought their little one up on stage and promised before God and before their church family to train their little one in the ways of the Lord. So we prayed with them as a church family. Maybe you've heard us read these scriptures before. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 9. We read this. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Or Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Just a couple of summary verses of this teaching that's clear right throughout Scripture. This clear instruction from God to pass on what we know to be true, to teach and instruct our kids, to nurture them spiritually. And here in Psalm 78, Asaph encourages us to not hide these things from our kids. He says that in verse 4. We don't hide it from our kids. If you think about it, whether you're a parent or not, isn't this the most important thing that we can pass on to kids? As Christians, this is the best inheritance that we can leave for our children. What parent would hide his children's inheritance from them? Now you imagine it. Imagine that someone finds a letter after their parents have died. And the parent reads, and the letter reads to that child, "My dear child, I've left you a great inheritance, but first you must find my will. I've hidden it. I cannot disclose to you the exact location, but I can tell you it's buried somewhere in outback Queensland. I wish you all the best and good luck." And no parent would purposely hide their inheritance from their kids. No parent would purposely hide their will from their children. The Bible explains to us that if we fail to teach our kids the things of God, if we fail to nurture them spiritually, we rob our children of their true inheritance, the knowledge of God and of His will. So I think that's the first point that we can take from this psalm today. The first point that Asaph is making for us here today. There's a story to tell, a story to pass on to the next generation. That's the first point. What is the story that we have to tell, though? Well, he continues in verses 4 and 5. It's the story of God. It's the story of what God has done and what God has said in and throughout history. Look at the second half of verse 4 there. Asaph says, "We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, His power and the wonders he has done. Asaph makes the point that the story that we are to tell, the story that we are to pass on to the next generation, is not our story at all. It's God's story. It's the story of what God has done. It's the story of his deeds, the story of his power, the wonders of his actions in and throughout history. That's what we need to be passing on to our kids. In order for us to spiritually nurture our kids, we need to tell them about God. We need to tell them who he is. We need to tell them what he's done. We need to share with them his power and the wonderful works that he's done in and throughout history. Not only that, we should tell our kids what God has done in our own lives. We should share with them the personal stories, the family stories of how God has answered prayers in our life. We should let our little ones see what God has done in and throughout the everyday struggles and trials of our family, of our church, of our faith community. We should include them in this. Most of all, we should share with our children what God has done through the sending of his son Jesus to bring us salvation. We should share with them what God has done in the gospel. We want our kids to know that God is a God who acts, a God who does. We want to pass on the truth of what God has done, but also what God has said. We want to pass on what God has said in his word. Look at verse 5. Asaph says that he decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our forefathers to teach their children. Asaph talks here about the statutes and the law of God. That word statutes is something we don't tend to use so much anymore. Sometimes translated testimony. It's God's testimony, not man's. That's the key point that Asaph's making, because it's God's story, not his own. God's testimony carries with it this general idea of God's warning. God's statutes, his testimony to us, tells us by his word, what he speaks, what he said, the things that God says are good for us and the things that God says can harm us. That's the testimony, the word of God. Asaph refers to the law of God, talking about God's word to us, that all-encompassing word from God to us, his instruction, his commands. We need to teach our children both the works of God and the word of God, his law, his commandments, his warnings, his promises. And all of that gets kind of wrapped up in this long-range vision in verse 6. So that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Asaph's saying we need to tell our kids what God has done. We need to tell our kids what God has said so that they would know this for themselves. From our teaching of our children comes their knowing. Our children need to know what God has said well enough that they can teach it to their kids who aren't even born yet. And so on. We need to teach our kids what God has done and what God has said so that they will know the truth for themselves. And this is important. When he says that they'll know it for themselves, he's thinking more than mere memory or mental awareness. Knowing in the sense that our kids, our children, will be able to see the real beauty of who God is and what he's done and said and embrace that. Embrace that God for the treasure that he is. And I think as parents, I think as a church, it's not something we can make our kids know. We can't make them learn these truths. We can teach them, And we should teach them. We can do our best to put God at the center of our lives and teach them. But ultimately, only God can ensure that they come to know him in this way. I think that's the second lesson this morning. The story that we need to pass on to our kids is the story of God, what he has done and what he has said. And we need to teach these things to our kids so that they might come to know him, to know this God, to know his story for themselves. There's a third thing that we can learn this morning, and this is in the aim or result of this instruction to our children. The aim or result that Asaph sees of our kids coming to know God in this way. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 of Psalm 78 there. This is the result. This is the aim as these kids come to know this for themselves. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. The results or aim of our children coming to know God in this way, I think, are twofold. First, our little ones are going to have the same confidence and trust in God that we do. Isn't that a beautiful thing for the next generation? To pray for them, that they would come to know God in such a way that they would have the same confidence and trust in our God, in his story, in what he's done and what he's said and promised, that they would have the same confidence and trust in God that we do. Secondly, that the next generation would act in obedience to God, that they would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. And again, isn't that a wonderful aim? Isn't that a wonderful result? Is that our kids come to know God in that way? Not only do they have the same confidence and trust in him that we do, but they would act in obedience to him, not forgetting his deeds and keeping his commands. That's the aim. That's the result. That's what we're shooting for. And again, we can't bring them into that knowledge. God does that. But we do our bit. We train them and instruct them. We tell what we know to be true. We pass on the baton. Nurture them spiritually. We pray for that aim. I think that's the reason why Asaph goes to the trouble of grabbing our ears at the beginning there and reeling us in so that we would listen. Because the result, the aim, is that if our children come to know God in this way, to know the truth of his deeds, to know the truth of his word, they'll put their trust in him and they'll not forget him. They'll be obedient to him and keep his commands. And I think that's the greatest hope, the greatest thing that we can pray for our kids, that they would come to trust in the living God. I think that too often we think about the next generation. Too often when we think about what we need to pass on to our kids, too often when we think about what results we want to see for them, I think that we as parents, as members of community, we can think purely in moral, physical, or emotional terms. We want our kids to get a good education. We want our kids to get a good job or to meet a good husband or a good wife, to be a good member of society. I think what we can do is we can make too much of their story, our children, the next generation. I think we can make too much of our story, we who've come before. And I think we can make too little of God and his ultimate story. And so I'm thankful for the reminder this morning, this remembrance psalm, this maskil of Asaph, that reminds us that sure, we can want all of those good things for our kids. We can pray all of those good things for our kids. But we need to remember, first and foremost, that that's not the ultimate aim. That's not the ultimate goal. That's not the ultimate result that we should want to see in the lives of our young people, in the lives of the next generation. What we should want above anything else is that they would have a confidence in God, such that they would put their trust in Him completely. That they would trust in His deeds, they would trust in His word, that they would trust in His power and in His grace. We should want that for our kids. We should want that for the next generation. Don't we want them to not forget Him and to keep His commands? We don't want our children to be like those Asaph mentions in verse 8, who, like their forefathers, were a stubborn and rebellious generation, whose hearts were not loyal to God, whose spirits were not faithful to Him. There's a story to tell the next generation. There's a truth to pass on to them. That story is the story of God, what God has done, what He's said in and throughout history. And that's a story or a truth that we need to get right for ourselves. If we want to pass this story on, if we want to pass this truth on, we need to get the story and the truth right for ourselves. If you have the time to read through the rest of Psalm 78, we don't have the time to do it this morning. What you'll see is that Asaph makes that point. It's a truth we need to get right for ourselves, because from reading this psalm, Asaph details over about 500 years of Israel's history. It's a remembrance psalm. He states and charts their history from the time of the Exodus until the time of King David. And Asaph, through Psalm 78, he outlines this cycle of unbelief that crept in to the people time and time again, as one generation took their eyes off the ball and stopped looking to God, as one generation stopped trusting God, as one generation stopped being obedient to His commands. We see this cycle repeated time and time again throughout Israel's history. If we're honest, we see it repeated in our own lives. We need to get this story right for ourselves. Asaph implies in this psalm that we can get the story wrong, that we can make it too much about our story or our kids' story and not enough about God's story. One of the best things that we can do as a parent for our kids is to make sure that we as parents are putting our trust in God and not forgetting what He's done or what He's said. Earlier I read that passage from Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll close with that this morning. Bruce is going to put it up on the screen there. Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 6, we read these words. "These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them as on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." Parents, we need to put God first in our hearts. The commandments that He gives us are to be upon our hearts. All of this teaching, all of this important responsibility begins with us having a truth, having the truth of God, the truth of His gospel in our hearts. If we're to pass that on to the next generation, we need to be sure of that truth for ourselves. And here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it says it needs to be woven into the very fabric of our lives. Our getting up, our sitting down, our walking, all of our doing needs to be with this truth in our hearts. We're to model the truth of the gospel as we tell it and as we share it. And I think that's really important this morning. Is this truth in your heart? Hear the responsibility this morning to pass that truth on to the next generation. Whether you have kids or not, if you know and love the Lord, if you are part of God's family, you share that responsibility. You might have opportunity to input into the lives of our young ones through serving on a ministry team, through being a part of junior kids church or kids church, or serving in the nursery or youth group, being involved in a small group or a Bible study, mainly music, some other way. Maybe your involvement extends to praying for the next generation, to praying for them, that they would catch that truth, that they would come to know it in their hearts. Maybe your involvement extends to praying for this generation, that we would know this truth in our hearts, that we would live it out, that it would be wrapped up into the very fabric of our lives, so that we would take that baton and pass it on. Let's pray together this morning. Father, we want to thank you that you have brought us in to your story, the ultimate story of what you are doing in and throughout salvation history. Father, we want to thank you that you have shown us your deeds, that you have given us your word. Father, that we can know what you have done and what you have said. Father, that we can know in our hearts who you are. Father, we want to thank you for that wonderful grace and mercy and love, that truth of the gospel that's central to the story of you. Father, we want to know that truth in our hearts, to live it out, to have it be so enmeshed in the very fabric of our day, that as we go, as we sit, as we walk, as we lie down, we have opportunity to teach that truth, to tell that truth, and to proclaim it to the next generation. Father, would you forgive us for those times when we make the story narrative too much about us or our kids or the next generation, Lord, and too little about you. Father, humble us this morning that we would again focus on and fix our eyes upon your great story of forgiveness, salvation, mercy and love. Father, would you impress upon our hearts this morning that great truth, and help us, Lord, to pass that on to the next generation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.